roads on Main Street, I'm excited. I expected maybe 15 of us to be here, so we're all tough. We're not frozen people, we're tough. I have a little, I don't know what it's called, I don't know, maybe it's a poem. But it made me think, or actually the lessons made me think of this. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He is my friend. But then, instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last, I snatched them back again and cried, "How can you be so slow?" "My child," He said, "what could I do? You never did let go." And that was by Loretta Burns. Oh, how true. Even when we don't let go of our troubles when we offer them to the Lord, even when we don't let go, God is still there. God is still here. God is still present with His arms open, loving us, calling us to Him. He never leaves us or abandons us. So we need to slowly learn how to really let go and let God. That's that old phrase that I know everybody's heard, but it's true. Let go and let God. But also, we need to slowly learn how to really change. And then in the same book that I found that Broken Dreams poem, I found this one, very short. It says, "Life is like that. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been." And that was by Josh McDowell. Never heard that one before. Being willing to let go of our kind of in the rut or self-centered ways, sometimes thinking we know best, and not only of others around us, but of God that we know better, is how we need to slowly get out of that and to learn how to relax and listen and change. Become truly centered on God. Not on ourselves, not on our problems, not on anything, but God. That's our goal, putting Him first and foremost. Slowing down, kind of like smelling the roses, relaxing in His arms and listening. Not easy to do. In some times, in some days in our lives, it might even be impossible for us to do. But it really isn't if we let go and let God help us. Now this morning we pray about, and we probably do this other times, we pray about knowing all good, nothing more, all good and nothing less. All good proceeds from God. All good proceeds from God, but our hearts need to catch up with what we think and what we say. Not only our minds and our hearts, though, our actions too, what we do in our daily lives, we need to catch up. And we did, we prayed it in the call. Oh God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration, we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding them, and by your merciful guiding that we may do them. We need God's help, and most of us know that, and we pray it. We just have to catch up to our hearts and our minds and our faith, and then kind of relax and let God do the rest. Kind of allow it. Jesus to change us, to be more like Him, to really imitate His actions, His words, and what He did and what He said. But that does take time. It takes determination. It takes commitment. But it also takes patience. We need to be patient with others, but we also need to be patient with ourselves. We can't change the world. We can't change the community. We can't change our family. We can't change ourselves till we really and truly meet the Lord and relax. get our guidance from the Holy Spirit. We get His comfort, His mercy, His encouragement, our energy. All that we have is given to us by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then even while we were presenting the offering for today, read the words. When we're singing the fourth verse of hymn 43, read the words. All, praise God, from whom all blessings come or flow. God gives us everything. Our lives, our families, our homes, our jobs, our faith. He gives us absolutely everything. And not only that, He gives us our lives. Without God, we can't exist. But more than that, when we mess up, or even when we're not messing up, God restores us, mind, body, and soul, and spirit, each and every day, each and every moment, especially when we give Him time and we slow down and allow Him to restore us. Elijah also questioned God when he visited the widow. She was upset because she said, "You have come to me to bring my sin to my remembrance and to cause the death of my son." She was very upset. I don't blame her, but she was honest, and that God likes that. And then Elijah, he turns to God and he says, where is it? Sorry. Oh, here it is. "O Lord, my God, you have brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son." So Elijah was willing to convince with God, argue with God. God likes that. He knew that Elijah was bearing his soul to him, telling the truth, but also reaching out and asking for help, asking for guidance. So Elijah questioned God, yes. We know that from today's reading, but Elijah also had faith enough. He had faith enough to complain, to argue. But Elijah also had faith enough to trust in the Lord. We can see that by his actions. And Elijah restored the widow's son. And by doing that, he restored the widow. And by doing that, most of all, his actions glorified God and showed God's power. Paul, too, was a God-centered man. Even really, while he was persecuting and killing the Christians, I'm sure they wouldn't have agreed with me at that time. But Paul was zealous, overzealous maybe, for God, the holy God of Israel. He hadn't met Jesus yet. So he was defending the God that he knew, who was most important to him. But then on his way to Damascus, we know what happened. He met Jesus, and Paul stopped, he slowed down, he listened, and he obeyed. Paul was changed. His whole life was changed by Jesus. His heart, his mind, and his actions. All of that was a witness to God, to countless people, even us today. Like Elijah, Paul glorified the Lord. And Paul's actions are still glorifying God to this day and will be forever through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we hear all that He teaches. So that's why our lives are to be all about God, all about glorifying God, directing ourselves and each person that we know towards God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know from Jesus' gospel, the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus went to Nain, and there again, he healed a widow's son. He saw her trouble, he had compassion on her, and he told her, "Do not weep." And he touched the boy, and he was raised. He was healed. "Young man, I say to you, arise." So for those people in that funeral, holding the bier and then having Jesus raise him right before their eyes, can you imagine that happening? Really, think of it. They were afraid. They were in awe. They were feared. But They attributed that miracle to God. That's the purpose, returning to God. They realized that God had looked favorably upon them and that they knew something was different about the Lord. This word about Him, about our Lord Jesus, spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. And that's what our job, our ministry, our mission, that's what our lives are to be about. When was the last time you spread some good news about Jesus to somebody you didn't know, or somebody in your family, or somebody passing by? We are to share what God has given us to others, and that glorifies Him.